Hi, this is Nick Hood. Thank you for listening to this audio boo. I had an interesting conversation with a former pupil recently over a beer. This former pupil is a student of economics and one who has taken a great deal of interest in politics and the way that our country works. And we met to thrash out some ideas, really because, like many people, thinking about this independence election we have coming up in Scotland, one of my biggest concerns is the fact that I don't actually feel really well informed about the consequences of the awful decision we're about to take, whether we should be in Scotland independent of the rest of the UK, and what that means for us as a financial going concern. And there's a lot of rhetoric and exchange of ideas and a fair bit of preaching from London about how we ought to be voting, and a fairly strong and vociferous yes vote in Scotland is supported by a group of people who are nationalistic and strong in their views, and they seem to think that it's a clear choice and one that which we should be voting in favour of. And a less vocal, perhaps, and less listened to, but equally incredible argument against voting for independence. In other words, the staying together vote. But I'm not convinced either way of where our future lies. And I'm tempted to imagine all sorts of futures for Scotland, you know, whether or not we're part of some kind of new Scandinavian alliance, or whether we stand on our own terms within the European Union, and what that means for us in social, cultural and financial terms for our future prosperity. So I've been thinking about this, and I asked this pupil former pupil to give me some insights from his better knowledge of fiscal systems and economics than I have. But there are seeds that I see, and thinking from an educational perspective, Michael Gove, of course, quite recently has said that he imagines a future in the UK in which you are unable to distinguish between an independent and a state school just by simply visiting and observing and looking at the output from those schools in terms of attainment results. And whether or not you're a great believer in Michael Gove's pronouncements on education, I don't know. I'm not sure if you can. I mean, some would say that his statement that in the future you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between independent state and state schools is part of his vision that in the future all of the schools will be independent or run as academies independent of central government control. We have a slightly different system in Scotland. We have very much a local authority driven majority provision, and within that we have the local authorities working in this tight group called COSLA, which is the kind of association, the cartel of local authorities, which does the negotiating at a national level on teacher terms and conditions and so on. And many of us have been, I think, disadvantaged by the strength and the power of COSLA and the frankly weak and ineffective union representation that we've had in the dominance of the EIS, who I think have badly let down the teaching profession in their inability to negotiate a stronger position than we have at the moment. But I see that there are a number of local authorities within COSLA thinking about leaving that body to enable them to feel free from the constraints that that membership imposes on them. And it leads me to think, I think, that COSLA is driven by other wider agendas than the importance of education. They see that education perhaps is part of a range of services that they have to provide, including social services and infrastructure. And various authorities do a better job than others. But I think that imposition of the COSLA national perspective on the education agenda has been less than helpful. Coupled with that, of course, we've got the new curriculum, CFE, which, despite what you say or you read about, is still bedding in. People are still learning how to deliver the curriculum for excellence at all levels across the 3 to 18 year band. And things are settling in. Now, as a teacher trainer, I see CFE as a fantastic opportunity, and if the freedoms for creativity that CFE offers teachers are allowed to bring fruit in the classroom, and for the personalisation and choice and the very personal, child-centred development of the individual as they progress through the education system, I see that CFE presents a fantastic opportunity. But the constraints that are imposed within local authority controls, not least of which in terms of the bureaucracy of the reporting systems that many are having to spend their time on, instead of developing creative and imaginative learning sequences for their pupils, that the reporting workload at the moment is quite hard. But I see that there's a shift away from that now, and all of these hints and signs connected with the independence of Scotland, if it comes to fruition, it leads me to believe that there's the opportunity here in the changes that are coming to us in Scotland they're good things. They're things that will enable us to create a truly personalised and effective education system for our people. Independent schools tend to provide the education services that they do very well indeed, but they do it at a profit, or at least not an unsustainable loss. And if they can do that without the constraints of local authority agendas and the problems that local authorities have in terms of balancing the increasingly tight financial resources that they have available to them, it allows education to become independent of those other agendas, and I think that that's an interesting and important thing to look at. I think that there's another thing that's coming along as well in August, and that's this professional update, which we have as our GTCS registration terms coming to us all, where we have to demonstrate that we, like engineers and like doctors, are keeping ourselves interested and informed about latest developments, strategies, methods for teaching in the classroom, access to knowledge and research, and ourselves also becoming more research orientated and well informed about our own practice. These are good things, and I see that the professional update will, if it's done well, will improve the quality of teaching that we have in our country here. And the quality of provision, I think, can only improve if that is done well, and teachers are supported in such a way that they can become more engaged with research, more engaged with theories of learning, and more connected with good practice through sharing of good practice, through sharing of good resources. One of the things I'm involved in is the development of professional learning communities and professional resource sharing communities, particularly in physics. But now, increasingly, the other sciences are coming on board, and I think that there are many other subjects, strengths, and sectors in education who are moving towards a more open and collaborative and collegiate sharing of resources, such that wheels are not reinvented constantly by individual teachers struggling on their own. The wider communities that are available for these teachers are, once they're accessed, they're very enabling. They enable you to not start from a blank sheet of paper each time you come up with a new learning sequence that you have to develop and deliver. You've got something to start with that somebody else in a similar position in a similar school elsewhere in the country has done, and you can tap into that now. So with the development of communities, with the development of professional registration, with the hints that the cartel strength of COSLA, which seems to have had a negative effect on the overall provision of education in the state sector in Scotland, those things are coming to us, and I think that these are opportunities. Within the context, perhaps, of a Scotland newly independent from the constraints of Westminster, I think that we've got a bright future to look forward to, and I'm quite encouraged by all this. Independent, of course, doesn't mean unaccountable. We still have to have a national framework. We have to appreciate that that your postcode doesn't determine the quality of provision of education that you access, in the same way that it didn't ought to determine the quality of infrastructure and public transport and rail and post and broadband access and all those other facilities. We try and standardise those as much as we can, in the same way that we should be trying to standardise the access of provision for education for all people in our system. So wider accountability would be quite good, and I think that if we can break open and increase the transparency that we have on some of the national bodies, for example the SQA, who determine our qualifications structures, and Learning and Teaching Scotland, now Education Scotland, who determine what the curriculum contains and how that engages with our teaching practice in the classroom. I see that there are opportunities coming our way. If we can tap into those and build ourselves a future, independent or otherwise, in Scotland, we do have a different education system to the rest of the UK, and I think, thankfully, we have the opportunity to improve the provision and thereby attack social exclusion. And I think that one of the biggest problems that we have in Scotland is the exclusion of those who are in the social economic groups who are further down the food chain, as it were. We can enable young children who are able to progress, whether it be vocationally, whether it be through trade qualifications, or whether it be through access to internships and apprenticeships or further and higher education. And we have a real opportunity coming our way if we can free ourselves from the constraints of central mindset and the controlling mindset and the local authority mindset, which has this sort of measure, control and imposition of reporting standards, which are currently sucking the time away from teachers who, they're employed on a 35-hour contract, although I've yet to meet the teacher that works 35 hours a week. There's an opportunity for us here, and I wonder what you think about that opportunity. Is there a move towards greater provision of good quality education? Are we moving towards the greater use of technology and the trust of teachers to deliver responsibly in an informed way, not only well technologically based but also well researched based education provision for the children in their classes? Will this make a better system for us all? And if the system of education is better, then the quality of our workforce, which is already very high, should improve, and we should be able to develop and improve our national and social GDP, for the want of a better word, our product, our output. If we're better informed and better educated, then we'll be better workers, we'll be better businessmen, we'll be much more better orientated towards the awareness that we have of our place in the world from a financial point of view, and we'll become greater net contributors. I saw a post on Facebook this morning, which was posted by my cousin in the States, who, a friend of his, had been in a hotel in Kentucky, and they said that they went away for lunch, they came back after lunch, and they found that 1,000 school children had booked into their hotel. And for no good reason whatsoever, these children were obviously part of a trip, they were part of a school choir, there were 1,000 children, being a little bit loud and raucous. But at a prearranged time, what they did in this 18-story hotel, which had this kind of central atrium, they stood on the balconies up and down these 18 floors, and they sang the Star Spangled Banner, and that provoked a really, I don't know, it wasn't spontaneous, I don't think, but it was an astonishing thing to see 1,000 children in this hotel singing in beautiful harmony their national anthem. And I can imagine a time now, as we move towards independence in Scotland, where we'll have a greater appreciation of our national identity. Now, this is me speaking as an immigrant Englishman, but there is a strong national identity in Scotland. It's multicultural, it's inclusive, we're socially minded, we appreciate and understand that we work together. The illustration for me every day of that is the journey that I take to work. I used to commute to work around the M25 to Weybridge, And it was a battle, and it was a constant battle of me against the other drivers, trying, all vying for position and advantage, trying to make progress in this nightmare of a journey to work. My journey to work now into Edinburgh is something different from that. It's collaborative and it's collegiate, and of course there's every now and then you find an individual who wants the road for himself. But in the main, we're all trying to get to work, and what you find is that there's a greater friendship, a greater collaboration, more courtesy, the ability to yield a space for somebody else also trying to get to work in the traffic. And that national identity is something that I was surprised and pleased to find when I moved to Scotland 20 years ago. But it's part of the reason that I stay here. I have the opportunity to work in England or the rest of the UK or in the USA or any of those places, but I choose to stay and work in Scotland because I like that national identity. And if that national identity could be part of our pride in what Scotland does, our pride that as a small nation of a few million people punches well above its weight, as it already does in research and science and physics and finance, we could continue to do that and stand alone within international connections and groupings and connections, whether that be Scandinavian or European or as part of a wider, looser connection of the UK nations. I think that there's a bright future for us here, and I see the winds of change moving us in that direction. I wonder what you think of that. Your comments, as always, will be most welcome, and thank you for listening.